Correct. That's where we are. So last week, Stephanie talked to us about teaching and training, how really those are the first two levels of discipline. We don't usually think about it that way, but discipline has those three parts. We have to teach our kids what's expected. Then we have to train them, give them a little while to learn and understand that. And then we move to correction. And so that's what we're going to start talking about today is correction. And so if we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:14, remember our verse that tells us to help the weak, encourage the faint-hearted, admonish the lazy, the unruly, the idle. That's where our teaching and our training and our correcting fits in. Right? We're gonna teach our kids who are weak. They don't know what to do. And then in that training phase is where a lot of that encouragement comes in because they get frustrated. Anytime you're learning something new, anytime you're processing through a new season of your life, it can get frustrating, right? You can get discouraged and faint. And then the last part of that verse, where it tells us to admonish the idle. That's where we're going to be landing today. Really with our third and final phase of discipline, which is actually correction. And so there's this tendency in parenting today and in our culture to stay in this teaching and training mode and to always live there and to never move to correction. So why is that? Why is it a lot easier for us to stay in this mode and never move to actually correcting our kids? Well, because it's hard, right? It's not fun. It can be painful. But here's what I want you to hear me say. It's incredibly important that we realize that we're making a mistake in our parenting if we think that the loving thing to do is to not engage the hard thing. We have to engage the hard thing with our kids. But you know, it's easy to read those parenting books that kind of tell you what to do. It's easy to listen to me today and kind of take this three-step approach to how to discipline my children and think, okay, if I follow the steps, then my child is going to say, oh, Mom, you know what? You are right. I am so, from the depths of my heart, I am so sorry. That's not how it works, right? You could do everything perfectly as a parent. Perfectly. And you know how your child is going to respond to discipline? They're not going to like it. Hebrews 12:11 tells us no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. Here's the key. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So we need to prepare ourselves. Right now, we need to prepare ourselves for correcting our kids, to prepare ourselves that this is going to be hard. This is going to be difficult. My kids aren't going to like it. But we need to persevere through those things and continue on with correction. And so today we're going to really cover three areas. Why should we correct our kids? When do we correct them? And then how do we correct them? So first, let's talk about why we would correct our kids. First, God commands us to do so. He has actually tasked us with that as parents. Proverbs 19:18. I'm going to read it to you in a couple of different versions. First, it says, discipline your children while there is still hope. That sounds kind of, it's kind of a downer, isn't it? Avoiding it, it gets worse. Avoiding it can be deadly. Here's another version. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. Those are strong words. Right? I mean, how many of us want to be a willing party to our child's death? No, we don't. That's the last thing we want. But what God is telling us is when we don't discipline our kids, that's what we're doing. NIV, and then the first one was called the ERV, which I believe is the English Reader's Version. Proverbs 19:18. I love y'all. Yelling out some questions. But those are pretty strong words. Ephesians 6:4 tells us, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Did you like Clarissa singing over you this morning? Did you feel that? That's the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's how he relates to us. That's the feeling that even our kids should have in the way that we relate to them. So clearly God commands us as parents in these verses to discipline our kids. But there's another reason that we want to discipline our kids. Proverbs 6:23 tells us that correction and instruction are the way to life. And so if you've read much of the Bible, you know that God works in paradoxes a lot of times, right? There are things in the Bible that are you've got to give to receive. You have to die to live. These things that all seem backwards to us, the opposite of what you might think. And this may sound weird, but there's the paradox when it comes to discipline. And that is that correction yields connection. Disciplining our children actually gives us a way to connect to them at a heart level. And so correction, when it's done properly, key phrase, when it's done properly, moves us closer to our kids. But remember, it's painful at the moment, so it may not feel like it at the time. But I love the hope in this paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and 10. It says this, now they understand in part, but when they grow up into God's perfect discipline, they will know how kind our intentions were towards them. Don't you love that? They will know how kind our intentions were towards them. So we don't need to fear correcting our kids thinking that we're damaging our relationship with them. First Corinthians 13, 9 and 10. I'm going to make some more slides for y'all next time. We need them. If we're correcting in the right way, we don't need to fear damaging that relationship. We need to realize that we're actually investing in that relationship. But it may not feel like it at the time. We can't forget that part. So if we clearly see that God has tasked us as parents to correct our kids, and that proper correction connects us to our kids, then let's move on to the next step, which is, okay, when do we do this? When do we correct our kids? Let's go back to our 1 Thessalonians 5 verse again. A child needs correction when he knows your instructions and doesn't follow them. Okay? Remember, it's when he or she is idle, undisciplined, lazy, irresponsible. So first, remember, you've got to look at your kid's heart. You have to separate childish behavior from obedience. Remember, we've talked in the past about have realistic expectations. Expect your 3-year-old to act like a 3-year-old. Accidents or childish behavior, they may have some consequence, but they're not going to get the same correction as a defiant, disobedient heart. Okay, now sometimes this is a little bit tricky to figure out. If you've been around Bloom for a while, you may have seen this picture, but what would you do if you walked in to this? We have that picture? Yes. Okay. Those are my two lovely darlings there, Caroline, the older one, and Annie, the younger. I walked into this one morning, and by the grace of God, I did not completely lose my mind, okay? Charlie was a baby. I was exhausted. And the girls had gotten up early one morning, and Caroline, trying to be the good big sister, take care of her little sister, not wake mom up, she knows I'm tired, she decided she was going to fix them some breakfast, okay? What you may not be able to make out all over the floor is the, like, brand new, super-sized box of Rice Krispies, okay? And so what she decided to do back there on the little picnic table was pour them a bowl of cereal so they could eat breakfast, not have to bother me. Great intentions here, okay? You know how fast Rice Krispies come out. You pour Rice Krispies out of the brand new super-sized box, and it's actually kind of fun to watch them pour out. So what started out as an accident, overpouring, overflowing the bowls, turned into, ooh, this is kind of cool. And so it turned into pouring the whole box everywhere. Again, the grace of God that I did not lose it on my two girls. You can see Annie's face. She's like, hey, Mom. Caroline's kind of like, hey, Mom, what you going to do about this? Am I in trouble? Can you see that? But God allowed me to get my camera and take a picture. This is before iPhones. And stop with them and say, thank you for trying to help your little sister. Let's get a broom, let's get a dustpan, and let's clean this up. So that was a case of having to look at the heart. Her heart was not to make a huge mess for me to clean up. Her heart was to be helpful. But she's three. So we have a little bit of childish behavior. We have an accident in there. And so sometimes you have to separate all of that out. I love this quote from Tullian Tavidian because I think it's really helpful. He says, grace is for the brokenhearted, and the law is for the hard-hearted. Grace is for the brokenhearted, and the law is for the hard-hearted. This was not a case of a hard heart. She did not need a severe consequence here or severe correction. But it took me realizing that and sorting through that. And so as moms, we need to know when to correct and when to give grace. We have to know the heart behind the action. And when we are correcting, once that heart attitude is corrected, then there's no need for further correction. And eventually, hopefully, your child begins to self-correct. They become internally motivated. And that's a process. You have to be patient with it. But if you have a child who comes back to you after something happens at some point and they apologize to you, like, you just need to shout hallelujah right then and there because they're getting it. Even if it's after the fact. So after we've looked at the heart attitude, secondly, we're only going to move to correction after we know we've thoroughly taught and trained our kids. You want to make sure that you have fully instructed them before you correct them. Stephanie mentioned it last week, but have you ever had a situation where somebody got onto you or you got in trouble, but you didn't really even know what was expected of you? It's unfair. So make sure that your kids understand the expectation before you correct them. This is especially important as you move into new seasons, those preschool, early childhood years, but then again, junior high, high school, college, and beyond. As your kids move into new seasons, they're learning new skills. And so that teach, train, correct, we could almost put it in a circle. We're always going to keep going back to teaching and training. Today's the day of Caroline's stories. Last time it was Charlie. So when Caroline was in kindergarten, she came home with this brand new bracelet that she had gotten from the treasure box. But the only problem was I knew that it wasn't her day to go to the treasure box. And so when I asked her about it, she began to tell me the story of how her friend told her, when the teacher's not looking, we should get something out of the treasure box. And so they did. And I'm starting to boil because I'm like, we are not raising thieves around here. And we start to talk about it. And the more we talk about it, the more I realize she might kind of have an understanding of stealing, but she's not recognizing that this is stealing. She's not really understanding that she did something wrong here. So I realized we got to do some teaching and training here. We got to connect the dots for her. And so that's what we did. Now, don't get me wrong. She didn't get off scot-free without any consequences. She had to go back to her teacher the next day, tell her what she had done, apologize, take the bracelet back. Those were the consequences. But then that was it. Because really, I needed to teach and train her. Sometimes we assume what kids understand, and we're wrong. So we need to make sure our kids understand and that we've taught and trained them before we move to correction. And I want you to remember this as well, that the more time you invest in teaching and training, which sometimes can just feel like drudgery, like, oh, haven't you gotten this yet? Don't you understand? Do I have to explain every little thing to you? Yes, you do, because they've never done these things before. But the more time you invest in teaching and training them, the less time you're going to have to spend in correcting. Okay? So we've talked about why we're going to correct our kids, when to correct our kids. So now let's get to the nitty-gritty of how do we correct them. First, correction requires clear objectives that are God-focused and not me-focused. Remember that our goal is discipline. It's not punishment. Remember, we lean towards punishment when there's a behavior that we don't like and we just want it to go away. And so many times it's the heart attitude of us, not the kids, it's the heart attitude of us as a parent that determines whether we're disciplining our kids or whether we're punishing them. And so when we're correcting, we want to keep God's character in mind. And so as we look back through the scripture at how God disciplines his people, he demonstrates his love abundantly to them, loud and clear. He tells them, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's clear and direct in his commandments. Thou shalt not, there's 10 of those, be kind, honor, love one another. He gives warnings and lays out ensuing consequences. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you follow me, this is what's going to happen. He's very clear about his expectations. He issues specific rebukes, specific correction. And then he promises reward and hope when we obey. And so God's purposeful. He's clear. He's direct, consistent, honest, reliable. He's authoritative and most of all loving. And so that should be our example that we follow. So how does this translate to our daily lives as moms? Well, here's some general rules. Be respectful of your kids when you correct them. Don't make correction an attack on who they are. You always do this. You're so hard-headed. Don't do that. Be respectful of your kids. Don't discipline them in front of others. Don't discipline them in anger. And then be empathetic with them. I am so sorry that you chose to do this. So we're going to be looking at 5 very specific practical methods of discipline. We're going to cover 3 of those today, and then next week we'll finish the last 2. So the first method that I want to talk about is probably one of the simplest methods. It's just called extinction. Extinction is just ignoring an unwanted behavior. Now, that has to be a minor unwanted behavior, okay? Extinction is good for whining, complaining, just a kid who is trying to get your attention maybe in an inappropriate way. You just ignore them. Save your energy. Choose your battles. You can't use it, though, for something that's not a minor behavior. Okay? You can't just ignore your child when they are hitting their sibling or when they're getting into something that's dangerous. So you can't use extinction as your method of choice always. Okay? Hear me say that. But sometimes you just need to ignore that. And what that says to your child is, I'm not paying attention to this. So stop and maybe try something different. You can also stop and tell them, I'm not paying attention to you when you're whining and complaining. If you want to talk to me in a different way, come find me. And then you just walk away, okay? And they'll learn once that behavior doesn't get them what they want, they'll move on to something different. So there are times that you can just use extinction. Don't think I have to address every single behavior that my child has. Secondly, time out or also time in. And I want to explain those a little bit to you. Most of us have probably heard and probably used time out. It can be useful when your child needs to stop. When everyone needs a break for a few minutes and we all just need to kind of take a deep breath and relax, okay? I thought I was going to have to send my almost 15-year-old ninth grader to time out the other night doing his math homework. I was like, look, calm yourself down. Take a deep breath. You're getting too fired up here. It can be a great thing to use when your child is in a highly emotional state and they just need to dial it back a little bit. But time out usually needs some follow-up to it. Okay, you can't just send them time out and when the timer goes off, say, okay, we're done. You need to train them. You need to help them understand what they did and what they need to do differently. But time in. Maybe you have a child who has some separation anxiety. Maybe you have an adopted child who has some abandonment issues. And putting them in time out, separating them relationally from you is not a healthy thing. So time in looks like the same concept, but it's just together. It's just saying, hey, we need to calm down. I want you to sit down right here. I'm going to be right over here doing something. We're in the same room. Maybe we're even sitting next to each other. And you're just going to, I need you to calm down. I need you to stop doing what you're doing, and we're just going to sit here for a minute. Time in, okay? Time out when somebody needs some space. Time in when you need to maintain that relational connection. Now, the last method that I want us to look at today is spanking. Woohoo! Right? And I want to just acknowledge that there is a lot of controversy around spanking. And so I want us to just talk about that and kind of lay that out there. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics has taken an official stance against spanking, stating that it's not effective and it can actually be harmful to the development of the child in all different areas, social, emotional, physical, mental. And so a lot of parents are afraid to use spanking. And I get that. So I want to talk about that. When you look at the perspective of what the AAP has to say, and you look at the literature that they've developed and the studies that they have done, and you read about spanking in the way that they're defining it, I can see how they came to their conclusion. Because let's be honest, most spanking is done in anger and frustration. And you can feel the undercurrent of those attitudes as you read through that literature when they refer to spanking. And so guess what? I agree with them. I would take the same stance they're taking. Because spanking done in anger is not discipline. It's child abuse. And that's harmful to a kid. That's harmful to their psyche. That's harmful to their emotional state. When you discipline in anger, the focus is moved away from your child's behavior that you're trying to address, and the focus is moved onto you. Not for a good reason. What your child is learning is that you are incapable of handling yourself. You're incapable of handling yourself, and you're incapable of handling your child. And so what that breeds in your child is insecurity, fear, resentment. But let's consider for a minute that maybe the problem isn't spanking itself, but the way that it's delivered. And let's not allow fear to be our driver to sort of put spanking away on the shelf and saying, we're not even going there. But let's look at it to see maybe how it could be useful in our homes and in our families. And also realize any form of correction, when it's done inappropriately, when it's done in anger, when it's done in frustration, it can be harmful to your child. So it's less about the method itself than it is the delivery of that method. Does that make sense? Now, in your small group today, you're going to look at some verses in your homework about the rod. And people interpret that word differently, and that's fine, and that's part of what I want you to process through in your group. But what I do want to say to you is that the Bible presents spanking as an option. An acceptable method, but not a required method. The Bible does not mandate us to spank our children. Thou shalt spank your child when he disobeys. It doesn't say that. Spanking is one tool in your toolbox that you may or may not choose to use. And you would never use spanking if in your family there's a history of anger issues, there's a history of abuse, or if you have a child who is maybe a foster or adopted child and you don't know what their background holds. Those are situations where you would never use spanking. Take it out of your toolbox, okay? But I want us to talk through what appropriate spanking can look like as we parent. So first, spanking should be used for persistent, defiant disobedience. Secondly, it should never be the first method that you choose. And thirdly, and maybe most importantly, it must be done in the context of relationship. So you're going to use spanking when your child knows what to do and consciously chooses not to do it. Or a lot of times the opposite, when your child knows what not to do, but yet they continue over and over to do that thing that they know they're not supposed to be doing. I want to give you just some general guidelines for spanking. First, you're spanking for the offense, not to achieve a broken spirit. So when you spank your kids, you're not looking for a reaction out of them. You're spanking for what they did. I've heard some people say, it's kind of like when you get a speeding ticket. The cop pulls you over, he writes the ticket, and we go on, okay? Spanking doesn't work for every child. Spanking did not really work for my middle child. It just sent us down a horrible spiral. So we didn't spank her very much. It must be done appropriately. And then it's used for young children. Somewhere around the age of 18 months, remember, you want them to be able to clearly understand what you're expecting of them. And then up till maybe 8 or 9 years old. It's mostly going to be used in that toddler preschool age. And I know many of you are there. And the reason for that is because we can't sit down and reason a conversation out with them. We can't talk about what you did and why you shouldn't have done it and reason with our kids that who might be older. And so spanking fits well in this young phase of childhood. Next, you need to warn your child that the next time they repeat that behavior, they're going to get a spanking. Lay that out there. And then remember, it has to be carried out in a calm and in control manner. You cannot spank in anger. And so if you're going to use spanking to discipline your child, your own heart must be in line with God's character, which is just, controlled, redemptive, restorative, all those things. So I just want to walk through with you how spanking works when it's done correctly. And so there are several steps that I would say that you need to go through. First, you need to get alone in private with that child. I can remember taking them to the bedroom and sitting on the edge of the bed and walking through these steps and asking, what is our rule? Or what did I tell you to do? Whatever fits the scenario. What did mommy tell you to do? And having them answer that question. And they can answer that when they're pretty young. But there is a line in there. I remember the line of, do they understand or not understand? And I sat Caroline in my lap one night and I said, what did mommy tell you to do? And she smiled at me. She said, stay bed. And I said, and the next step is, okay, that's our rule. Now, what did you do? And I looked at her and I said, you're right. Mommy told you to stay in the bed, and what did you do? She said, get out bed. I was like, okay, she understands. So now it's on me to do something about it. We've taught and trained. Now we've got to move to correction. So we're going to get alone. You're going to say, what did we tell you to do? Then what did you do? And then don't apologize to them for spanking. Don't say, I'm sorry I have to spank you. You're going to say, I'm sorry you chose to disobey. I love you, and I want to help you learn to do the right thing. And then you're going to spank them. Quickly. Remember, you're not spanking to try to elicit a certain response. Remember that the point of a spanking is for it to be momentarily painful. You're not trying to leave a mark. You're not trying to do anything like that. You're crossing the line if you're doing that. And then you're going to wrap them up and you're going to hug them and you're going to tell them that you love them. Because remember, correction yields opportunities for connection. And then it's over. And that's one of the great benefits of spanking. It allows you to clearly walk through what was the rule, what did you do, here's the consequence, and it's over. And I'd love to talk to you further about this. We got to wrap up this morning, but if you have more concerns, more questions, if you're unsettled about this, I'd love to talk to you more about it. But remember, spanking is one tool in your toolbox. It's not used very often. It's never used as a reaction or when you're angry. But I do want you to understand that done properly, it can be a very effective tool. So those are the first three methods for discipline. Time out or time in, extinction, and spanking. Next week, we're going to move a little bit deeper into logical and natural consequences. And so what I want you to just be thinking about is, where am I in general in my correcting? Am I under-correcting my kids? Am I just kind of talking to them and hoping they'll get it, and I'm never really moving to having any kind of correction? Or maybe you're overcorrecting your kids. Maybe you're engaging every single behavior that you don't like in your house. Maybe you need to use a little more extinction. But we're shooting for that balance. We're shooting for the balance that reflects God's heart and the way that He disciplines us. And so as we close, I just want to pray and ask God that he would give us wisdom and that he would help us reflect his character as we deal with our kids. God, thank you for today. Thank you for these women. Thank you that they would just give their time to be here, God, to listen to what you have to say in your word, to wrestle with these things, God. Parenting is just, it's tough, but it leads us to depend on you, to look to you for wisdom and guidance. And I pray that as we do that, that we would have the courage, that we would have the energy, that we would have the perseverance to step into correction when our kids need it. And that we would do it in a way that shows them your character over and over. That you are just, that you are loving. God, that you seek redemption and restoration. Give us wisdom as we go here from here today, God. In Jesus' name, amen.